The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's a final agenda-free hour here on Felger and Mads, presented by DraftKings. Murray and McCarthy from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. I am on location. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Everything on the table from the week that we have gotten to or have yet to get to. So we'll continue with your calls real quick. There's just been a few developments on the things we've been talking about today. Pastrnak, negative for COVID, but under quarantine after coming to contact with someone who was positive for COVID-19. So no word on how long that means he is going to be out. So that's good news-ish. He's still out. He still has to be off skates. So he's still going to be set back. The question is it less than if he was actually positive himself? I would have to think so. But we'll see how that plays out. The second bit of news just came there in the update from McCarthy. If you're on the simulcast side, you didn't hear it. Mark Maskey of the Washington Post, one of the best NFL writers out there, says unless anything else develops, I'm paraphrasing here, unless anything else comes out of the woodwork, it does not appear now as if NFL owners will compel Dan Snyder to sell the Redskins, which should make Jim Murray happy. He has taken up the cause of Daniel Snyder today, so that's what you wanted to see happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, with the caveat of me being disgusted of having to actually do that, but you know, I've been pushed into that position by the woke media. Look, and I'm not surprised. I didn't think that the other owners would remove him, barring anything direct, especially with this Washington Post story that dropped yesterday. Again, reprehensible what was going on, the behavior of, you know, the underlings of Snyder in that office. But I just would look at that as a precedent that would open an infinite can of worms for all those other NFL owners, and they'd all be at risk themselves for, you know, I'm sure that same kind of thing unfortunately goes in their offices.
Well, Murray, as you said earlier, who in particular do you think is saying, we're going to let this sleeping dog lie?
Oh, we don't want to look into this, boys. Now, let me tell you. It's real bad what happened there in Washington. Let me tell you. Well, there's no real investigation that needs to be going on right there. We'll just slap them with a fine, slap them on the ass. Oops, sorry, I didn't say that. And we'll get out of Dodge. And we will just turn a blind eye like we always do. Hello. So, Jerry's on the line here. Anyone listening to me? Like, all
right,
Jerry.
Right. If of anyone, like, if they, like, actually decide to really take a look.
Oh, my God.
I mean, yeah. Holy crap.
I can't have anyone finding out about all them dead whores. Oh, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. Sorry, didn't mean to say that out loud.
So we'll see. Maybe Dan Snyder does skate. If I'm an NFL owner, not Jerry Jones, right, I think that's fair that he's got, you know, he's going to protect himself as well. But if I'm an NFL owner, right, just putting this aside, I want Dan Snyder out because he's been bad for me. He's been bad for our business. He's been bad for our brand. He is undermined and devalued one of the most valuable franchises in all of sports, frankly, driven it into the ground. And I would be looking for any excuse to push him out. And I would use this as an excuse. But it appears that that's not going to take place. So, yes.
Before you go to the phone, so, Mike, if Pastrnak got this, or, you know, he's now being quarantined because he was near someone, and it wasn't for partying and it was for practice, but not practice with the team, do you feel any differently about it?
Meaning what?
So this was alluded to by, correct me if I'm wrong here, McTakey, because I'm trying to find this, because I know it was Joe Haggerty that had it too. I think it was alluded to by Bruce Cassidy today. In talking about these guys, that he referenced them practicing somewhere else at some point, right? Do you have the quote?
So, Fluto says in his story, it's unknown how Pastrnak in particular can train while quarantining. According to the NHL's return to play protocol, players who participate in Phase 3 are not permitted to work out or skate at any public facility or
other location. I just read this.
I'm sorry, aren't there rumblings about maybe them being somewhere out in public, you know, not skating with the team, being somewhere else? Is that correct?
No, well, not rumbling. I think it's, I mean, I thought it was out there that they were skating on their own at a local rink.
Yeah, I've now heard this from a few people, too, like in Malden.
Okay, so what, they were in Hockey Town?
No, that's in Saugus.
Yeah.
Right, Saugus, sorry.
One in the same.
Sorry. You know, I mean, you know what I mean. The Malden equivalent. Either way, it's like everyone else. Well, I don't know how many guys are on the roster. Let's call it 40. 38 of the 40 guys kept themselves clean and kept themselves available to show up and practice and play. 38 of the 40, except for these two. So I'm sorry. I'm not giving these two a break. Everyone else figured it out. Everyone else was able to do it. How weren't you able to do it? Whether it was Hanover Street, Hockey Town, Malden, I don't know. I don't care. All I know is they're out there practicing and you're not. That's all I know. That's all I care about. And no, I ain't going to give them a break on that, especially because, to use the word we've been using on Dan Snyder, track record. Track record. You're going to the playoffs last year, another chance to win a cup, and you go out screwing around doing stupid human tricks on the street after a client event and crack your hand. And then you're not the same guy in the postseason, and that's one of the reasons they lose. And you freaking turtle in the finals. Sorry, I held that against them then, and I tied into what's going on now. When we went into this thing, I remember asking, who are you most worried about? Who would you be most worried about keeping his bleep together during the hiatus? And we all said Pastrnak.
Yeah, without question.
It was the automatic answer. And he comes back and he can't post. And it's like, I mean, sorry. You've earned your reputation. So back to your calls as promised. We'll take your calls all hour. There's a couple open lines if you want to grab them at 617-779-0985. Alex in Alston. What do you got for us, Alex?
Hello, Felger, President Reagan, and melancholy McCarthy. McCarthy, why are you so serious?
It's just his voice. He's the Velvet Assassin.
That's right. That's me. Thank you. I appreciate that, Alex.
Is that how you talk with your friends and family?
You better believe it. Yes.
Okay. So, Felger, why don't they do like a bubble? Like, why doesn't the NFL do a bubble like the NBA where they just do one site?
Because there's 4 million people in football. There's 60 men on a roster versus 12. There's, you know, a billion coaches versus 3, you know, or 4. And there's too many in basketball, but you can get away with 2 or 3 in football. It's just the staffing. Your traveling party is...
It's 32 players. I mean, you probably have, what?
32. Murray, the rosters are 60. Or, you know, 53, but I think they've gone to 60 this year because of COVID something.
Okay, yeah. So,
I mean, the rosters are huge. The rosters are over, they're normally 53 people, but I think they're going to be even bigger this year. Most teams have a staff of 10 coaches, 6 trainers. The traveling parties are huge, and they times that by 32. You can't contain it. You can't hold it. Also, you then would need, 16, 32 fields or practice facility. You just can't do it in football.
Right. Yeah, you don't have enough fields, all that kind of stuff.
McCarthy, I think Fred Tutcher's talked about this, and it's right. Our former program director, love him. But Mike Thomas loved the professional broadcasting-sounding guy. You know, they got the good voice. So we have these guys. We have McCarthy. We've got Silver. We've got these raft of guys that just sound perfect. They just, like, perfect pitch, perfect delivery, perfect diction, the whole thing. That's McCarthy. But don't let that fool you. He's the Velvet Assassin. His takes are very negative. He's vicious. You just wouldn't know it. Dan in the truck. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. 2 quick points on the bees. Felger, you've been hitting the nail right on the head with Pastrnak and Kasha. These guys, it's unacceptable that they're not with the team right now. It's just absolutely unacceptable they've been carrying themselves. But second point, I heard a report that DeBrusque is looking at $6 million for this offseason. I almost spit out my coffee when I heard this. I think it's just atrocious of what, you know, I understand the market dictates the value here, but the way that this guy's been playing all throughout his time with the Bees is just, he's not a $6 million player at the moment, you know. You got McAvoy and Carlo up in a couple of years for a new contract, and all the other guys that are up for contracts this year, especially Krug. I think it's just, you know, he's more of a $3 or $4 million player the way he's been carrying himself.
Oh, forget about it. No, the way he scores. You know, he's a top 6 forward, and I think Carlo signed, didn't he? I'm going to look it up. He just doesn't produce offensively to be a $6 million player. You know who their $6 million players are? Marchand, Bergeron, Pastrnak. Those are the guys that are in the $6 million range. Pastrnak makes 6-7. Marchand makes 6. Bergeron, I think, makes 6-1. I think those guys in Nebraska's going to ask for $6 million. Pound sand.
He ain't worth see that.
See you later.
No.
I mean,
way.
I like him. Nice young player, but please, no way. And my computer just froze. So
is
I'm not.
Is Barzal a $6 million a year player? I'll ask
he
you that.
Yeah, he should be 7 or 8.
Not
I mean,
to go back to 2015, but hey, we
thank
have to,
you.
Right?
But like, no, but the guy Bruins passed on.
Right.
This story for another day, okay? But if DeBrusk wants to get paid, he can help himself. He can step up and produce in this postseason like he didn't last year. You know, you could do that as well. We'll continue with your thoughts on the Pastrnak revelation, the Pastrnak development, the Snyder development, and anything else from this week, because it is an agenda-free Friday with Felger, Murray, and the Velvet Assassin, Matt McCarthy. More right after this.
Felger and Maz.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores. .org/Noah.
Who doesn't know Felger and Mass?
Michael Felger, I don't know from a can of paint at all.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'll tell you what, guys. I'm getting a little geared up for sports. Like, I feel it. I feel it coming. And, one of the things, you know, just ripping Pastrnak all week. Like, I don't know, that brings it back to a happy place.
Well, there's real things to get pissed about, right? Like I yeah. said, like the Pastrnak thing was the first thing I was legitimately mad about in sports since the shutdown, like in months. And because that's a real thing to get mad about. Otherwise, it's been like, well, when's sports going to come back? I hope they come back. Are sports going to come back? What's it going to be like? What are we going to do? Like, all of that. Yeah, you can get frustrated, but it's all just kind of unknown. Now there's real legitimate things you can sink your teeth into. It's kind of nice.
And it's sort of building. Like, the Red Sox start a week from tonight. Okay? So that's just like, that's now it's, we're sort of on the clock. We're under a week away from a return of real sports and a real team that we care about. As much as we hate them, we still do care about baseball and the Red Sox. And, you know, sorry, McTakey, but I mean, you know what I mean. It's a love-hate.
I know, totally.
Yeah, so, like, now we're under a week, so, you know, we're on the clock for the Red Sox. You know, we can sort of fret about Kemba Walker's. We can fret about Kemba Walker's knee or worry about what Pastrnak's doing away from the rink. Like, we're back to, like, those are sort of normal things, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, even more, and this is what I was talking about, this is why it's so important for these reporters to be allowed into these camps, and I think we're missing out in basketball, we're missing out in the NBA, that no one is there viewing these practices, because we're not getting any real updates. We're just, you know, the team is telling us that Kemba Walker sat out, and that's really all we know, you know, or Steven saying, yeah, we look good today, or we look sluggish today. Like, we're not getting any independent eyeballs on the thing to say that Jaylen Brown looks like he put on 5 pounds of muscle, and it looks like Marcus Smart still struggling with his shot. Like, because if I'm a hoop head, I need that stuff.
Yeah.
I want that stuff. We're getting that with the Bruins. And I'm just going to give you a little bit. I'm just going to pull it out here. I'm going to pull out the little Bruin in my pants. When I read this yesterday, it was a practice report from Fluto Shinzawa, which is just, this is just exactly what I've been missing. Like, even short of the games, I miss this. How does the team look? Give me some insight into the way they look on the ice, on the field. Give me something. So here's a few things. Here's a few observations. Fluto says, scoring consistently could be a dogfight for this team. He says that it's inevitable that opponents will train their defensive sights on the Bruins' most accomplished scorers. Of course, that perfection line. And with David Pastrnak unfit to participate, the number one line has now had to accommodate Anders Bjork. Apparently, Anders Bjork has looked the best of anyone in camp. in this little return to camp here. Apparently, Anders Bjork has flashed more than anyone, and so he's been skating with the first line. He says this is where the Grinders have to prioritize breaching perimeters and getting net front access. The power play, which the Bruins have yet to practice, will have to provide timely scoring. He says Marchand and Bergeron will be just fine. After 10 years of partnership, the two could trade sticks and still generate chances by finding openings and getting each other the puck. So according to Fluto, those guys look like they hit the ground running, like they never stopped playing. He says, on the other hand, it may take DeBrusk and Krejci a little longer to hit their groove. It wasn't the most accomplished regular season for the second liners, and apparently they don't look quite as in sync as the other two. He says, after 4 months off, players with quick feet. So who looked good? Here's what he says. After 4 months off, players with quick feet looked more acclimated than their counterparts. DeBrusk, Bjork, Kuhlman, Charlie Coyle, Sean Corrali, Chris Wagner, and Matt Greslick served as Exhibit A. So they look like they're moving well, in good shape. He said, on the flip side, it may take some time for battleships such as the Dano Chara and Nick Ritchie to reach cruising speed. So they're apparently showing some rust and are a little slower getting going, right? Like all those little, practice nuggets.
Yeah, and I'm already in. So Chara, yeah. Fine, old. Nick Ritchie, what, still fat?
Fat, out of shape, no excuse. Seriously.
Where was Charlie Coyle? I'm sorry, because you were rattling off names.
Coyle
so fast.
Wasn't mentioned.
No, he was. He was mentioned in that group of guys looking with quick feet. It's okay. Okay, there's a long listening list there. Yeah. He said DeBrusk, Bjork, Kuhlman, Coyle, Corrali, Wagner, Greslick served as Exhibit A of those with quick feet looking more acclimated than others. He said, now this is just, again, this is deep on the roster, but it gets me off. Jeremy Lauzon has locked down the number six. It looks like. Oh, he didn't say it looks like. He says Jeremy Lauzon has locked down the number six spot on the blue line. Foot speed has been Lauzon's biggest liability, but the left shot defender moved very well while closing in on opponents, while Greslick relies on his stick to disrupt plays. So Greslick-Lauzon is your third pairing. You know, that was last year. That was Connor Clifton was in there. They also still have John Moore. But it looks like they're going with Lauzon and Greslick. And so it's, Krug, Carlo, Chara, McAvoy, Greslick, Lauzon. And, those little nuggets, I've been dying for. Never mind the games, just that day-to-day coverage and who looks good. And this is all why it is so important for if and when the Patriots get on the field for camp, that they let the big boy and the others, up there sit on the hill and just observe the practice so they can log the reps and tell us who looks good and who doesn't. So it's something on the day-to-day, something to sink our teeth into and just sort of, rip or ignore. I mean, that's all we're looking for. You know a guy that I'm worried about now that I think about it, wasn't even mentioned in any of this, is McAvoy. Mm-hmm. So that's another guy. Now, that's another guy sort of, if you had asked me who are the guys that I worry about going into the pandemic, Pastrnak was one. Rask was on the list, not because of he might do the wrong thing, but just because he's a goalie and, where are their heads at?
He went AWOL last year, remember?
Well, he did. That was a team-sanctioned sort of leave of absence. But, Rask was on the list. He's always on the list. But more in the Pastrnak, list, I would have gone McAvoy second. Hasn't he had problems in the past with showing up on time? And his conditioning has been, you've wondered about it in the past. And this is another hugely important guy. I'll say the same thing this year I said last year. He's got to be your number one defenseman. McAvoy's got to be the guy. He's got to be number one in minutes. He's got to play power play. He's got a penalty kill. He's got to be there at the end of the game. He's got to be, if Chara is logging the most minutes, you're probably in trouble. And so, how does McAvoy look? Can someone tell me that?
I'll tell you what, though. Listening to that breakdown from Fluto, it sounds like the Bruins from before the shutdown. The first line will be fine. Hopefully, Pastrnak will be back sooner than later. Second line's going to suck. The third and fourth lines will be all right.
So, anyway, just a little practice report is bringing me back. I'm sort of feeling it. It's coming.
You and me both, Mike. I'll tell you what. After hearing that report, try this out. If Bjork looks great on the first line, keep him there. Punish Pastrnak, put him on the second line, see if he can get that line going. How about this actual line talk?
I like that.
This kind of gets the blood flowing
that.
A little
bit. I like that. These lines are fluid.
They They always are. Paii.
Pastrnak should have been playing with Krejci to begin with. This is a big thing. I mean, again, I think, picking up from where we were when the apocalypse hit, I think Charlie Coyle's your second line center and has been for a couple of months. Charlie Coyle... believe, led the team in ice time. Led the forwards in ice time the last six or seven games of the season before they shut it down. He was playing more than Bergeron, and playing in all situations.
Red Marchand at center.
Thank you. So, I think that Coyle's your second line guy anyway.
Krejci,
but either way,
at center.
They need to balance out Sarandis. They need to balance out Krejci. They need to give him something. So give him Pastrnak and let that serve as a little punishment for out dinking around here during the pandemic.
Jordan Caron on the right side.
Are these lines fluid, Ted? This is all that I want to know. Are these lines fluid or are they sort of etched in stone?
These lines are fluid.
Thank you. Brian in Medford on the Bruins. Go ahead, Brian.
Dodge debris.
Brian.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, sorry about that. Yeah, I was just calling. I was just interested in like what you thought about your whole take. This whole entire quarantine system has been about how athletes need to stay in shape and do whatever it takes. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. Do what you got to do to shoot the ball, shoot the puck. But now you're saying it's Pastrnak's fault for maybe catching it at a rink offsite when he wasn't supposed to be there?
Well, first of all, we don't know that.
The whole time?
We don't know that. But what you're supposed to be above anything else is ready to go when your team shows up to practice and skate as a team. And he wasn't. So that's what I care about. I'd rather him skating with the team than on his own catching COVID.
I mean, you're contradicting yourself a little bit. He wasn't allowed to be with the team because of international travel restrictions and quarantine. But so he kept himself in shape by going to one of those offsite rinks, courts that you were clamoring for the whole entire time.
Well, okay. Well, that's true. That's fair. Okay, so look.
And what if that was also coupled with, playing street hockey with some good time buddies in Charlestown? Is that also practicing so that you're, you know, getting better at your craft? No, you're dicking around.
Thank you. And it's also, so he has to skate on his own because he came back, late from the Czech Republic, so he couldn't participate in phase two because phase two began like a month ago, right? Like, what was that first day that Marchand and Bergeron were on the ice?
Wasn't it June 10th or something like that? It was almost a month ago.
I want to say it was a month ago. And I remember at the time, I said, oh, well, where's Pastrnak? They're allowed to have four guys at a time. Why wouldn't they just have the entire erection line out there at one time? And then it came out that Pastrnak was still back in the Czech. So why was Pastrnak still in the Czech Republic when his line mates were already on the ice?
It was June 8th.
So, like, he's had these dates have been on the calendar for a long time. Everyone else, they all were spread out. I mean, not all of them. Some of them stayed local, but a lot of these guys were spread out. They, for the most part, got back in time and got on the ice the first days they were able to get back on the ice, except for Pastrnak. So you're right. At least he came back and was working out on his own and was trying to do the right thing on his own. So fair point, caller. I'll give you that. He was doing, you know, but he still could have came back earlier and done this at Warrior with everybody else in a much safer environment, and he didn't. So that's on him. And are we sure it was the skating? That sort of feels like, and it may be, but it feels like a convenient thing to blame when he's also rolling around on Hanover Street, right? No. He picked it up when he was training, and he was, you know, putting in the work is how he came into contact with the COVID positive. And again, he's negative for COVID, but he came into contact with someone.
But regardless, he has to wear the scarlet letter of unfit to participate.
Right. That is even still. Right. He gets that designation. One more segment of your wonderful calls right after McCarthy's update.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down. down, you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, it's Felger and Murray, Matt McCarthy in our update studio, back in our Tom Fraterra studios in Dorchester. It's been an agenda-free Friday brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group, and we're wrapping it up with your wonderful phone calls as we do on this day on a regular basis. Tim in Nashville, what do you got for us on Pastrnak and the Bees?
Mike, two quick things. First on Pastrnak, it's just precautions, you know, this crazy time. And I don't care if he's dancing around his house in a dress like Bruce Jenner. He's fine. My second thing.
Well, no, hold on. Tim, hold on. I want him dancing around in a dress in his apartment by himself or with someone that he knows has been safe. That's the whole point. Get your tutu on and dance around in your apartment and stay out of these foreign gyms in Hanover Street and all that other crap. I'm with you on that. Go ahead.
Well, Mike, unfortunately, the public is not, you know, adhering to every, you know, precaution. And my second thing is with Cam Newton, is this another stunt by Josh McDaniels like he did with Tebow? Do you feel that way, or do you think it's all Belichick?
Oh, it's all Belichick. They're not going to. Yeah, Josh McDaniels wanted Lamar Jackson, and Bill in the draft room apparently told him to go F himself. Like, they're not going to do what Josh McDaniels wants. I mean, Tebow for a little camp visit, you know, just to give him a I don't know. Was that Josh or was that Bill? I mean, who knows? But I don't think they're doing things at the best of Josh McDaniels. I'm sorry, I don't.
No, and I don't think you can use, like, Cam Newton's not here as, like, a pawn. You can't bring that guy in because, again, the PR fallout would be unbelievable if you just cut him and be like, oh, no, it was just, like, we brought him in because we felt like, you know, we'd try him out and it didn't work out. Like, you can only, I really believe this, you can only cut him if he's too injured to play and he's no longer the same player. And you'll have to prove it, too, with the MRI, x-rays, and everything else, because no one's going to believe you.
You're talking PR fallout of players in the league, players in the locker room, and the woke media.
Absolutely. Without question. I mean, Mike, again, you refer to the Richard Sherman thing. The day he was signed, one of the most outspoken players in the league, who I really like, Richard Sherman, like immediately was like, shame on the Patriots for the contract they gave him. What? Huh? What? Huh? They're the only team that actually hired him.
I'm with you. The Pats deserve no blame. They're the ones that gave him the job. They're the ones that should be congratulated. But do you think the Pats care about any of that?
Bill certainly doesn't. And if anyone is built to deal with any kind of blowback that they would get in today's hypersensitive times, it's Bill. The team? Organizationally, I don't think they would want to deal with that.
They would. I think they would. And I think they would rightly push back and say, "What? Why are we the bad guys? No one else would even give them a job. We gave them a chance. We brought them in. It didn't work out, but we put a good faith effort. You know, we said if he played well, he'd get millions of dollars. It was a minimum, you know,
and this
salary, but there was.
And this is why I'm with you in that it's so important that we are able to have reporters able to cover whatever camp there is. Because otherwise, if they cut him, Mike, without any kind of x-rays, MRI, anything like that that proves he's too injured to be the quarterback of this team, Patriots racist, going with the unproven white quarterback, sponsors going to be contacted, demanding them to end the associations with the team. It'll be a nightmare for this team.
That's not going to – wait. So wait a minute. You think if – I'm with you with the woke media, Murray. You think – that if they cut Cam Newton because he doesn't look good in camp, people are going to be calling sponsors to end their sponsorships with the Patriots.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, because people everyone's lost their minds. Everyone's lost their minds. Everyone's out of work.
Not that
There's
bad.
Too much time on their hands, and they will these busybodies will contact sponsors and say end their associations with the team. I firmly believe that. And then again, just from the football perspective, in that locker room, all those guys, all the outpouring of support when they signed him, you have to explain that to them, and then you think Bill's going to do that? So, you know, you're asking for trouble there, too. You can't – Cam's – this is why I'm cemented in this. Cam's the quarterback of this team, and he's healthy. I have to believe he's healthy. He's now the quarterback of this team because you can't cut him unless you have the MRIs in hand, the x-rays in hand, and say, no, it's too hurt to play. You can't do it. And Cam also has to say, like, oh, I guess I'm washed up. I can't play.
Murray, I'm with you on everything other than the sponsors pulling sponsorships because they cut Cam Newton.
All right.
That's not, they will not be called on to do that. I mean, will there be, I mean, like, if you, unfortunately, I think you do this. If you dig deep enough in the internet, you'll always find someone saying something. So I'm not telling you there won't be anyone that calls for sponsors to take money away from the Patriots, but there will not be a groundswell. There will not be any real substantive, you know, call to, no, that's not going to happen.
I hope
that's
you're
not
right.
Going to happen.
Hey, do you want some internet scuttlebutt, though, about the quarterback
position? Yes, give me some internet scuttlebutt.
Just scrolling through here, I see this. So today on Instagram, apparently Jarrett Stidham, who I believe is just going to be a career backup. It's him, you know, in a his four jersey, and it just says grind. You know, he's got the helmet on. He's, you know, looking like a quarterback. And who is commenting on this is Penelope Stidham, the wife. Kennedy, actually. And it's three emojis of the zipped mouth, like she knows something. Like, oh, what's up here, Penelope Stidham? What do you know? Jay Stu, you got you talking to your sources back there? What do you know
I
about
love
this?
That.
She did a video that insinuated that they had an announcement coming soon. Oh. So I don't know what that is. That might be a child. That might be something else.
Oh. Huh.
Well, file under not interested. I mean, God bless them. You know, congratulations.
But follow up is,
oh,
I wonder if she's a distraction to him getting the quarterback job.
Ooh,
interesting.
Ooh.
So in other words, they went to Texas. Could she have gone alone to Texas, or did she drag him to Texas?
Yeah. Well, but you know, then still, even still, I look back at the dude and say, call your own shot. Come on. You know, this is going to sound sexist, Trenny. I'm sorry, but who wears the pants? You know, you can call, you're your own man. Just because she says you have to go doesn't mean you have to go.
Is Jarrett's career her number one priority? Question mark.
Is Jarrett's career her number one priority? Huh.
Hmm.
It sounds like Jimmy's reading.
You know, oh, yeah, no, he is. I see him looking at the phone back there.
Well, I mean, the former quarterback's wife's number one priority wasn't football. I mean, the Giselle's number one priority was not Brady's career with the Patriots. So, like, that's fact. I mean, we know that. I mean, Brady pretty much admitted. I mean, like, that's not beyond dispute. So, if Jarrett Stidham's wife's number one priority was not the Patriots, then, you know, can you hold that against him? But the point is, here's my point. I hope she is like Penelope. Where she's, and this is Gordon Hayward's wife, we've dubbed her Penelope, because for some reason I called her Penelope one day, for no reason whatsoever, other than I forgot what her name was, and that thing popped into my head. So that's our inside joke, Penelope. Hopefully she's like Penelope in that she's sort of active, social media-wise. She's taken an invested interest in her husband's career. She comments, you know, gives you stuff, because we've been able to glean stuff about Gordon Hayward by following Penelope. And hopefully, Mrs. Stidham is the same way. That's all I'm hoping.
So far, it seems that way, yes.
Okay. Real quick, here's a Zach in Milford on Newton Stidham. Go ahead, Zach. What do you got for us? You're up next with Felger Maz. You could bump him up there. Jimmy, he jammed on me. Go ahead. Zach Ray.
Can you hear me, Michael?
Yes, go ahead.
Michael, yes. Can you hear me now? Thanks for hitting the button. Okay. Newton and Stidham together, 2.6, right? Great value, some of the greatest value in the quarterback. If, the big if on the Felger and Maz show, if Newton is healthy. Now, if Newton can get back close somewhere to the MVP level, you can't tell me that's not a win for the Patriots this year, Michael. Is that correct?
Well, what if they suck?
Well, what if they suck?
Well, okay, well, exactly. So let's find out. If they're good, then it's good value. But what if they suck? Because they could suck.
They could suck. They could go 4-12. Newton could be unhealthy. Stidham could be down playing with Penelope down in Texas.
Exactly.
And Brian
right.
Hoyer is your quarterback.
Okay, so there we go. Let's find out. Okay? The value comes after the fact. Thanks for the call, Jimmy. You can drop them. The value comes after the fact. You know, everyone's already chalking up Cam Newton as this great win, which is like, well, first he has to be healthy. Then he has to get the offense. Then Belichick has to like him and trust him enough to put him in charge of the offense. And then he has to go and perform. And if those four things happen, which they're possible, but if they happen and they win a division and they, you know, go in the on a run in the playoffs and Cam Newton's a big part of it, then you look back and say, of course, great value. What if he sucks? Then you've wasted, you know, $500,000, $1 million, whatever it is. You've wasted some time and some energy, and you've just wasted everyone's time for a guy that wasn't any good.
It'll prove they had never had a plan at the position is what it's really, more than anything else. I mean, you can just say, like, they actually had no plan at quarterback for 2020, and that will prove it.
Jimmy, give me, please, Mike on the South Shore on Cam Newton, if you could, please. Line 7, you're up next with Felger and Big Jim Murray. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hi, guys. I was wondering if you thought Bill Belichick's friendship with Urban Meyer had any role in Cam Newton signing with the Pats, considering Newton started his college career with Florida, and three of his teammates on that team were Aaron Hernandez, Brandon Spikes, and Jermaine Cunningham. So he definitely, you know, has a relationship with Meyer.
So, right. He transferred from Florida to Auburn.
He got thrown out of Florida for stealing that computer.
Okay.
Yeah, he left midway through his sophomore year, I believe he left. But he was part of an incoming freshman class with Aaron Hernandez. It was, you know, several other people that ended up on the Pats were on that same roster.
Thank you for the call, Mike. We appreciate it. And, you know, I don't like any of them. So, Spikes was okay. Spikes, a mass murderer. And who was the third one?
Jermaine Cunningham, sucked.
He sucked.
Yes.
Right. So, like, if the Patriots got the same endorsement on Newton that they got on those players, then no, I don't feel good about that. Do you?
No, not at all.
Joe in Duxbury, line 1, Jimmy. Joe in Duxbury will be up next with Felger and Murray. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, so my thought process is, where's Kraft been on all of this? Like, is Kraft cool with the fact that Bill ran Brady and Gronk out of town, and now we're relying on an unproven Stidham? And it's like, Bill, go get Cam Newton. Let's see what happens. I'm not handing the keys over to Jaron Stidham.
Nope. Okay, well, we can't use that word. But
that's how I want to refer to him as, though.
But that's a fair question. I mean, I don't think that's what happened. But do you think Kraft is happy with – I mean, I think Kraft is happy with Belichick. I think Kraft got a little down on Brady, too, at the end. Yeah, otherwise
– for sure. I'm sorry.
You go ahead.
No, I'm just laughing because that's well within the owner's, I think, to finally look around. You know, now his case is clearing in Florida. Like, we've dealt with this madness of COVID, and he finally sits down and says, wait a minute.
Who's our quarterback?
We're going to give the keys to the most important position to effing Jared Stidham. Go get Cam Newton. He's still out there.
All right. Thus concludes that portion of the week for Felger and Maz. All we have left is the final word. Do we have fresh material this week, Jimmy Stewart, or what do we got?
I would call a standard final word by Monday through Thursday standards.
Okay.
So we have a host not listening.
Okay, which occurred, I believe, today.
A phrase that you loved today.
Okay, so I may have repeated myself. We'll hear what this is about in the final word right after this.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. For the guaranteed lowest price on tires, go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
We have fresh material today in the final word.
Freshies.
Always exciting. And it's always exciting when we get a case of the host not listening.
Oh, crap.
And now, how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
And it's up to them at this point to force him out because he is bad for the league. Not directly because of this, but because of the last 20 years and every single problem that you have with this franchise, whether it's that horrible story about the cheerleaders or the racist nickname or the Trent Williams thing from last year or this, It's the magnitude of crap that has piled up on Dan Snyder that he has brought upon himself because he is a raging a-hole. That's why he needs to go.
How about pimping out the cheerleaders?
Well, I just mentioned that.
I thought, start listening. Oh, I'm sorry. I was listening. I thought you left it off. I thought you left it off your list. I'm sorry.
Oh no, it was on my list, Mike.
Okay, sorry.
This has been how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
I was actually trying to listen. I wish I wasn't listening to your opening take about the Fakakta Astros game.
Mm-hmm. Game seven in the World Series.
I happened to be listening to that. And I still missed it. Unbelievable.
Mike, I love your MLS takes. They go over about as well as my opening takes. Opening take today. So we also had Felger was hot on the Washington Redskins story today, and Dan Snyder and Jim Murray's take about the woke media. Felger in particular found that term. I don't know. Yeah, he seemed to like it.
I know your issue. You hate the woke media, and so you are just you will take any opportunity to take the other side because you hate them. And I don't blame you. And like the woke media doesn't understand that they do more harm than good. For example, I think Murray that if it weren't for the woke media, and you know the preachers online that you deal with, you would say yeah, get rid of Dan Snyder. But you feel like defending Dan Snyder because you hate the Nanas so much that you just want to take that side. And I think there's a lot of people like you that those people are so insufferable. The woke media is so insufferable. It's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about is someone who wants Biden to win and all of this. I worry about backlash from that side going too far. The woke media has pushed Jim Murray to take up the cause for Dan Snyder. That's your fault. Yeah. That is your fault. That is not his fault. That is your fault.
Yeah, so I said, it's the most 2020 thing ever. When I started off with this at 2 o'clock, just proves worse by the day, never getting out of it. You've actually forced me into a position of having to try to defend Dan Snyder, who's a puke.
You hate the woke media. The woke media doesn't understand that they do more harm than good. If it weren't for the woke media. The woke media is so insufferable that the woke media has pushed Jim Murray to take up the cause for Dan Snyder. Woke media. The woke media is so insufferable. The woke media.
The what?
All right. Give me another way to say that.
I find that clip hysterical for the reason that it sounds like a losing game of Operation.
My line got a little staticky there, huh?
The beeps, the squeaks, and the creeps. The what?
So there it is.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Visit the president of Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.